When a volcano explodes, it ejects material ranging from rocks the size of cars to the smallest particles of ash. This ash can travel thousands of miles to form an invisible layer on the landscape. And by studying these microscopic grains, scientists can date archaeological sites, and this can help to clarify the effects of environmental and climatic change, or even determine the movement of the human population within the last 100,000 years. Sue Nelson met up with Dr. Christine Lane and Victoria Cullen at the University of Oxford's Research Laboratory for Archaeology, and Christine began by showing some of the variety of material erupted from a volcano.
These are some samples that I collected in the field from various places, which are from close to volcanic sources, so a bit different to what we look at normally. And one of them is a pumice, a bit like you'd use in the bath, very light rock full of air. This rock is what we call an obsidian, and it's actually made of exactly the same material as this pumice. It's glass, but it's got no air bubbles in it, so it's really heavy and it's much denser. But what we're looking at in the lab here, it's the same material, but it's travelled maybe thousands, up to maybe 3,000 to 5,000 kilometres from the source. So what we're looking at now is volcanic ash. And you can see it looks much more like dust, just particles of dust, or very small grains, like sand-sized grains.
And do you have a specific name for this scale, this size of ash, don't you?
All material erupted from a volcano, when it's erupted explosively, we call tephra. And tephra is actually the Greek word for ash.
Victoria, you're going to show me, aren't you, exactly what that looks like?
As Christine says, it's actually glass. And if you can imagine when you break a glass in your house, it fractures in very distinct ways, very sharp edges. And in some locations, you get these bubbles as well, which are also kept within these glass shards. So if I get some slides out for you now, we can actually look at what it looks like down a microscope. If I get you to look down there, and you can see some very pinky, purpley-looking shards of glass.
Do you know what? It reminds me of a Charles kaleidoscope.
If you were to find this in an archaeological or environmental site, you wouldn't actually be able to see it physically looking at the site. So this is why it's called cryptotephra, or hidden secret tephra, also known as microtephra. So when we look at certain sites, because it's travelled so far, it's so fine, it's so small, when it's deposited, it's just invisible to the naked eye. And then we come onto a microscope and actually look if tephra is there in the first place.
So now that we know, obviously, that we've got tephra, where do you go from here?
We take them down to the microprobe and we analyse them for their chemistry. Every glass from a single eruption has one composition, one chemical composition, which is frozen at the time of the explosion. And that composition acts like a fingerprint. So we can identify from a tephra, the composition of a tephra shard, which eruption it came from.
This looks like a sort of giant microscope, effectively.
Yes, this is our electron microprobe. It works at much higher resolutions, but it also has four different what we call spectrometers, and these are effectively the detectors that record the composition of the material we put in there. Okay, if I just choose a little grain to focus in on the computer console, we can have a look at that here. And it looks quite complicated because there's a lot of different columns on it. But the one we want to look at is this column here, which is the weight percent oxide. And this tells us for each element.
I can see there that sodium, magnesium, aluminium, silicon. These are all in ash.
Yeah, these are just the what we call the major and minor elements. So these are the main constituents of this ash. There are other elements, trace elements in there. So you can see that the greatest composition is silica. They're silicate materials, like all volcanic rocks. So silica, aluminium, sodium, iron and potassium, and sometimes calcium are the main elements that we're measuring.
And what can you actually learn from analysing these bits of ash, this tephra?
We're looking in records where we have a story already. So we might have an archaeological site which tells a story of what the population in that site have been doing when they've been there, what sort of behaviour they've been doing, what tools they've been making. Or we might be working in environmental records, so sediments accumulated in the bottom of a lake over time, which record changes in vegetation or the landscape around the lake basin. And by finding these tephra layers, or the same tephra layers, in different sites, we can link up those records. So where we have a population in a cave, and we find evidence for them just below a tephra layer, if we find the same tephra layer in a lake record that tells us what the climate was doing at the time that eruption took place, we can infer that that was also that the climate at the time of that hominin population was there. So we're using them as marker layers to transfer climatic and environmental information between sites.
Christine Lane and Victoria Cullen from the University of Oxford. They were talking to Planet Earth podcast presenter Sue Nelson about the enlightening properties of volcanic ash. And you can hear a longer version of that interview on the Planet Earth podcast, which you can find on thenakedscientist.com/planet-earth.
Bringing the facts to bear. The Naked Scientists.